Yeah. Ah. Talking about money always makes me a little nervous in the church. Same with you? That's what I hear. Whatever you do, Pastor, don't talk about money. Stay out of my wallet, right? Keep your hands off that. That's out of bounds, right? Don't even go there. Now, that's a pretty good rule for pastors to stay safe and comfortable with their congregations. But the only problem with that rule is Jesus seems to talk about money all the time. It's like he can't stop talking about it. It's like he understands that right there is the most dangerous thing in our life to keep us from God. I mean, every gospel he's talking about money. Sell everything you own and give it to the poor, right? Right. What about taxes? Well, give to God what's God's and give to the government what's the government, right? Right. What if a slave had 10 talents and 20 talents and 30 talents? Yeah, on and on he goes. He talks about money almost as much as he talks about the kingdom of God. Because I think he sees the dichotomy between the two. He says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to see the kingdom of God. I pray for camels that can go through eyes of needles. How about you? And we don't get off the hook when he says, to whom much is given, much is expected. He says it in this chapter too. Because we live in abundance, don't we? We live in abundance. Is your refrigerator filled? Is your pantry stocked? Are you worried about what you're going to have for dinner tonight or if you're going to have it? Or do you already know what you're doing next Sunday after church? We live in abundance compared to the rest of the world. So we're not off the hook there. So frankly, when Jesus talks to us, I think the first thing he would ask today if he came in, he would say, what's in your wallet? Remember when wallets... Do guys still carry those? I stopped because I got a really hard bruise there. We used to, right on the rump there, the rumpus, you know? We used to get this condition, like a wallet condition. It got so thick and bulging. Women, you don't have to worry about that. You got the luggage you carry around every day with all your stuff in it. You need a bigger purse for that, you know? Anyway, Jesus talks about money. So I'm going to take just a few minutes today to discuss this great topic, this touchy little topic that's so important to all of us because it was important to Jesus. What's in your wallet? Basically, he's saying, what do you do with money? Isn't money interesting, by the way? All it is a piece of paper. It's like the best, it's the best example of false idols because in itself, it's virtually worthless except for the value we give it. If you've got one of those bills that have the green printing on it, and it's got a one on it, man, that's pretty good. You know, what will that buy you? I don't even know what that'll buy anymore. But if it's got a 10 on it, now we're talking. And if it's got a 100 on it, now we're cooking. See how your eyes just all got, you know. Have you ever had a $1,000 bill? They're out there. It's just a piece of paper. It's the same piece of paper. We give it the value it has because we accept it as valuable. It's like the best example of a false idol. No real value in itself, but the value that the world gives it. The value that the world gives it. So what do you do with your money? What's your relationship with your money? How does your money and your relationship fit into your life with God? Because that's really important. At least Jesus thought so. He wants to meddle a little bit in your life. He wants you to tell him, what's your relationship with money? You know, I did a funeral once at my previous setting. And we went to the graveside. And, you know, they have the tent up so we know where we're going. And the hole is dug and the rack's there to put the casket on. And we're all kind of gathering around there for the little burial side service. And just right next to it, a funeral had just happened. Because the dirt was still fresh. But it was a huge plot. I mean, it was like four times the size. of a casket. And I went over and asked the funeral director, you know, as people were gathering, what is that about? Did a whole family perish or what is it about? And he goes, oh, no. He goes, that was an old guy. The only thing he wanted was to be buried with his Harley. So he got buried with his Harley Davidson. He literally buried his Harley Davidson with him when he died because he didn't want to be without it. And I guess he thought when he gets to heaven, that'll come in handy. I don't know. Like he can actually take his worldly possessions with him and be buried with them. And the funny thing is, we kind of act that way sometimes. We act like the things we can buy and acquire with our money are the most important things there can be to us. It can be life-changing and it can define who we are and it can make us a man or make us the right-looking woman in this culture we have. But money is so important because it makes me who I am. It allows me to be the person I want to be. And that's when we get in trouble. Because that's when we start worshiping money. Because all those things I just said about money are true about God. God defines who you are. God will make you the person you want to be. Right? God will give you an unconditional love that never changes and you never have to buy more of it. God can do all those things that we think money can do. But we just won't trust God enough to let us give up on money. So we're caught in this conundrum. As far as I know, nobody here is going to volunteer to sell all their possessions and give it to the poor. Or is there someone? I thought for sure Allie would bite on that, but she didn't. No, that's not how we live. So we've got to reconcile our relationship with money. Now, let me tell you the two barriers we have to this. We have two barriers to reconciling our relationship with money, right? One is we have a real hard time seeing beyond ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Just seeing the world beyond ourselves, like outside of ourselves. We are so used to, because it's the only thing we've ever had, of seeing the world through our eyes, through us being in the center. And everything that goes on around us is outside of us, and we're in the center of the world. It's like this. Amy and I got to the beach this week for a couple days. And I noticed as the sun was setting, and I sat down in my chair just to watch the sunset on the beach, that the sun, as it set, it formed this beam of light across the lake that came right to me. It came, you know what I said? It came right to me. And I knew God was doing that, you know, to tell me how great I was. I'm the one in the light. I'm the one deserving of the light. Because when I moved over here, it came right to me. It's like it followed me. And then people started to get in the way. And, you know, they didn't realize that God was shining his light right on me. And I would move around. It followed me. And I just felt God's presence. Because that's how we see the world. We don't even realize it. But we have a real hard time seeing the world from other people's eyes, from their life experience, from their nationality, their ethnicity, you know, what they've lived through, to walk a mile in their shoes. We have a real hard time with that ability, the empathy to understand the world from outside of ourselves, not within ourselves. Therefore, the money we get is ours. It's mine. Either I earned it or God blessed me with it because I'm so deserving that the light always shines on me. But that's my money, Pastor. Keep your hands off of it. Right? Nobody wants to hear this sermon. Now he's talking about my money. That gets real personal. Right? That's tough. But if you can step outside of yourselves, guess what happens? That's not your money. That's not your money. That's God's money. God created everything there ever was, ever will be. We have a hard time with that. So that's one of the problems, seeing beyond ourselves. You know what the other problem is? Likewise, seeing beyond this world. Seeing beyond this world. Thinking this world is all there is, it's the only shot I get. I need to make as much money as I possibly can and acquire as many possessions. as I possibly can, because I only get one shot. Only get one shot to get all I can, to get all the buy all the happiness I can buy. You know? And by the way, did you notice? You have to keep buying it. Because what makes me happy this week is boring by next week. And so we have a culture, a market that keeps providing the new things for us. The new and improved, whatever it is. Because we have to keep buying it to feel good about ourselves, to make us the person we want to be, to define ourselves, to make me the man I want to be. I can buy my way into that. And I have to do it now because it's the only shot I get. You know, I'm 61 now. The clock's ticking, I know, 19-year-old, smart aleck. Did you bring any money today? No, I'm kidding. However, if we can get to a point where we can see beyond this world, truly trust God, that this is just a stopping point along the way, that we're here not for our own purposes, to buy as many things as we possibly can and to be as happy as we possibly can make ourselves, but we're actually here to be God's servant, a slave to Jesus' calling, to make other people comfortable, happy, joyous, and free, that indeed we're servants, not masters. If we can see beyond this world, we realize that we can build a life for ourselves here and now that's part of eternity. That's part of the life we'll have forever into eternity. We can have that now, Jesus says, if we're willing to see beyond just this world. So work on that. Seeing beyond yourself and seeing beyond this world. It's hard. My best example, my favorite example is, imagine that you're a fish and you are in an aquarium, you know, just one of those aquariums, maybe with five other fish, and you spend your whole life in that aquarium, and it's the only life you know. So those two rock formations in there are the only rock formations that ever existed. Right? Those five other fish in there, they're the only other fish in existence. You can't see beyond that aquarium. You've never known anything beyond that. Right? That's the entirety of your existence. You don't even know what water is. Because there's nothing that's not water. And we only know things by what they're not. We know what light is because we know darkness. You don't even know what water is. Because you've never been without it. That's the bubble we live in our culture. We become so attuned to the way of life in this culture that we can't see beyond it. We don't trust anything outside of this little aquarium, this little fishbowl we live in. And everything in it we just take for granted as that's all there is in life. Me and this world. Get all I can, get as happy as I can, because the clock is ticking and I don't have much time. That's hard to get past. But for Jesus, the key to truly getting freedom in this world is to overcome those two barriers. To be able to step outside of yourself and see other people first, right? And to be able to get outside of this world and see the kingdom of God now. That's what he says. That's what we need to work on. So where does money come into all that? If you step outside of yourself, as I said, it's not your money. It's God's money, and you are here to serve God. And not just for this world, but for eternal purposes, because there's more to life than this world. So your money is essentially God's gift to you so that you can bless other people in eternal ways with what you've been blessed with. In eternal ways. What things are eternal? Love, truth, comfort, peace. Use your money to bring that to other people. So I'm going to leave you today with three questions to think about. I'll put them in the vision this week too. This seems to me to what Jesus really is getting at. Three questions about your money. One question, where do you get it? How are you getting your money? And no matter what streams of revenue you have coming into your life, are you using those streams for God's purposes. Whether you're working on an assembly line and being the guy who brings the spirit of love and joy, that's hard. Whether you're a teacher and your classroom is your ministry, it's your kingdom of God, whatever it may be, an accountant who makes that a gift to people to make their lives blessed, whatever it is you do, are you doing that for God's purposes and not your own? So, where are you getting your money? Two, what are you doing with your money? Are you hoarding your money just for yourself? Like Jesus says, the master who hoarded all the wheat in barns and barns and barns and it finally went stale and bad? Or are you using your money for eternal purposes? If you are using it for yourself, that's okay. That's okay. But make sure it's for eternal purposes for yourself, not worldly purposes. In other words, I wouldn't be spending, you know, $1,000 on a reindeer winter coat. Probably not. That's vainglory, we call that. But spending $1,000 to buy coats for the homeless shelter is probably a better use of that same money. And you can do that with every nickel you have. You can think about it in every penny you get. That's God's money, and it's here to bless people for eternal purposes. Where do you get your money? What are you doing with your money? But most importantly, what Jesus wants to know is, what's it doing to you? What is your money doing to you? What kind of person is it making you be? How is it changing you, your heart? How is your money changing you as a person? How is it affecting your relationship with God? Because what our tendency is to take whatever's in that, see ourselves as the center of the world, our money in this world, and using it for those purposes. And that goes against everything Jesus taught. That's why he cares about your money so much. Because you have been given, you people of abundance, have been given a blessing in this world compared to so many others in this world. You have the best opportunity to bless other people's lives through your wallet and your purse. You, more than almost any other people on the earth, you're in the top 5% of people in this world with wealth. What a great opportunity to bless the world for God. Because to whom much is given, much will be expected. Amen.